And he definitely did some amazing things. I'm very grateful. Before we begin the message, let's receive the offering. I know many of you know the saying, feed a man a fish. You feed him for a day. Teach him how to fish.
You feed him for a lifetime.
When it comes to giving, love is should be the motivation to giving, but wisdom should be the guide. We see so much in the news about giving and people reaping from all of these benefits, but do you realize that that's not wise giving? To not teach people how to take care of themselves? Because then we not only carry ourselves, we have to carry them. It was never meant to be that way. The purpose of giving is to do good in the world. Think about that. The purpose of giving is to do good in the world. That's the purpose of giving. God so loved the world that he gave. What did he want to do? He gave a good person to humanity to show them how to be a good person and benefit the world. Some people are better at making money, in other words, earning money, and some people are better at spending it. Not everybody that's good at making money is good at spending it. I want you to realize that. Just because somebody's rich does not mean they're going to spend their money wisely. They can actually do the world a lot of harm. There's some people that are very wealthy that do a lot of harm because they weaken people. They don't make them strong. If you want to benefit somebody, you teach them to be health conscious. Not how to go to a doctor. That's why I was thinking about when you give into the ministry, you're actually giving into a work that teaches people to become self-sufficient in God. To me, that's one of the greatest investments that we can give, is to help people to know who they are, how to live a long, healthy life instead of being dependent. If people are not being raised up to be independent, not rebellious, but independent in God, they are not a blessing in this world. Some people, when they give to the poor, they just get a good, nice, gooey feeling. There's a lot of times I'll pass people that are poor, and that's not what they need. They need to get a job. They need to work. They need to get their confidence that they have value. You don't have value when you're always taking from somebody. You have value when you give what God put in you to people. But we have to be wise with what we give. So the title of today's message is called Life is a Journey, Not a Destination. Who's your guide? Life is a journey, not a destination. Who's your guide? I'm going to read you a story that I thought was pretty pictorial. The young warrior stood before a crossroad. The path he'd been walking suddenly branched out into many different paths. He was frozen in indecisiveness, which path to take. As he turned around, the old warrior suddenly stood before him. Did he spring out of the ground? Where did he appear from? The young warrior pushed these questions from his mind and instead asked the one hanging from his eager lips, "Which path should I take, old warrior?" The old warrior said nothing, leaning on his staff. The sun shone through the old tall trees, creating small spotlights on the ground. A moment that seemed to hang for hours ended when the old warrior turned his head slowly and examined the surplus of paths behind. Then the old warrior spoke. Tough to say. So many choices lay before you. He stroked his long white beard with his wrinkled fingers. The young warrior, frustrated, both with the old warrior's response and with the dilemma of the choice he faced, said harshly, "I can see that. I need the answer. Which path should I take?" Silence again followed the question before the old warrior spoke. "Do any of these paths look familiar to you?" The young warrior focused his eyes on the paths that stretched out before him and began to see familiarity with some of the paths. He wasn't sure why, but this filled him with satisfaction that he was closer to his answer. "That path there," said the young warrior, "looks like the one my brother followed. That one over there," he motioned with his enthusiastic finger, "is the one my friend took last month." "And where did those paths lead him?" the old warrior questioned. "To their true calling in the world. What do you think will happen if you follow the same paths your brother and your friend took?" The young warrior was puzzled. He knew this was some form of deep question, the kind the old warrior loved to ask. Yet he could not glean the meaning. In response, all he could muster was a shrug. A small smile crossed the old warrior's face as he stroked his beard again and collected his thoughts. Then he spoke. "What do you think awaits you if you follow the path taken by others?" "I'll go the same place they went." "Is that where you want to go?" "No, I want my own destiny," said the young warrior, with more passion than he intended. The old warrior shifted his staff to his other hand and narrowed his eyes. "Then you know which path to take." The young warrior looked at a path to his right that was barely a path at all. The outline was faint and grass grew over the path. No sunlight shone on this path, and the darkness was discouraging. His emotions sank as he thought about walking this unfamiliar path. "But I can't see the end of the path." "You're not supposed to. If you could see the end of your path, then it would cease to be your path. It would be someone else's." "How will I know that this is my right path? When will I reach the end?" The old warrior spoke no words. The young warrior expelled a deep, frustrated breath. When he inhaled, clarity was brought to his swarming mind. He began to understand and think out loud, "You can't tell me because you haven't walked my path. I have my own path to walk that is just for me." "That's correct," said the old warrior, smiling broadly. "The path you must walk is not about your destination. It's about the journey along your path. what you learn, how you grow. The young warrior was beginning to understand. Taking the path of others, the old warrior continued, will only lead you to the same destination as the person who walked that path before you. But you are not destined to be like everyone else. You are you, and you have your own path to walk. The young warrior understood what the old warrior was trying to say. I will take this path here. He motioned to the dark, unfamiliar path and placed my feet where no one has set before. I guess I have to trust that this will lead me where it's meant to. The old warrior said nothing but nodded. The young warrior let out a big breath and felt sudden energy pass through him as he began to follow the unfamiliar path. A smile passed over his lips as he knew this was the path he was supposed to take. When he had walked a short distance along his path, he turned around to thank the old warrior, but the old warrior had disappeared as strangely and as suddenly as he had appeared. A slight calming breeze swept over the young warrior as he smiled again and turned around to continue walking his own path. This time with gratitude and excitement about what would unfold for him as he moved forward on his journey. The very first message I ever preached publicly was called My Journey with God to Wholeness. And the Lord had me use visuals of hiking trips that we had taken and signs along the way. But I realized that life is a journey, not a destination. But a lot of people think, I'll go to college, I'll do this, and this is what I'm supposed to do. But then when retirement age comes, they don't know, what are you doing? I got into some deep discussions with my family while I was up in Alaska about their lives. And they were asking me, you know, do you think you'll live in California? How long? Do you think you'll... this, but life is, as far as now, and the call of my life, this is where I need to be positioned so that I can go here and there at about, I mean, God is amazing. He had it all figured out. But one thing about the temptation to walk other people's paths is it seems easy because then you don't have to spend time waiting on God. You just follow somebody else's path that's already waited on God if they walk a godly path. The bad part of this is familiarity breeds contentment. And when we are content, we do not go after God anymore. We're content. And we weren't created to live content lives. It also hinders expanding and growing. We also were meant to continue to expand and grow. We don't grow till we come to retirement age and then we stop growing. It's just not that way with God. Familiarity also brings boredom. Same-o. If that's the way you feel, then something has gone awry in following the path that you're supposed to be on. It is never boring with what I do with God. It's always new, and it forces me to be sensitive to the next step. Today the Holy Spirit spoke to me about laying this down for you to think about where your path is right now. Where are you going? And have you gone awry? Have you gotten off on another trail because it got comfortable? Or are you following the path for you? You know, when you do go on trails, and sitting next to this young man that was a travel guide, professional guide, into these majestic mountains of Alaska, he learned something very, very important as a very young boy. His father used to go skiing, snow skiing, into these magnificent mountains. And he went with them as a little boy. When he was getting ready to ski a certain run, and they were all, yeah, we're going to go on this run, as a little boy, something in him said, don't go. But because everyone else did, he went with them. An avalanche hit and he was buried in snow for 45 minutes. He began to tell me that in 5 minutes you go to hypothermia. In 15 minutes you're dead. But what happened to him is he landed in a pile of snow where the trees were branched, so there was an air pocket in there. That's the only reason he lived. He literally said he felt like he was dead. He thought maybe he was dead. Broke a lot of bones. He made a decision that day in his life. He would never violate the leading on the inside. Now, mind you, in our long discussion on the airplane, I began to talk and give honor where honor was due, that that was the Holy Spirit of God that was leading him, even as a young boy. It's back to that when they knew God, they didn't acknowledge him as God, is basically what I was helping to bring an understanding. Part of his turn away from acknowledging is he was raised very religious. But when I began to share some stories of the Holy Spirit leading my life, he realized that's what was happening. He said, you know, I'll take people out, fly them, helicopter them into these very remote places in Alaska, get everything set up, and I get this, something's not right. He said, I shut the whole expedition down and take them back and give them all their money back. He said, I will never violate that again. How many Christians have violated on the inside of themselves and they're off their path because they violated? The only way you can recover is to acknowledge, you told me to do that. And that's one thing I've learned about God, is he will not take you the next step until you go back and recover that step in your walk with him where you got off track. Whether it's you just didn't acknowledge he's God and you hear his voice, or that you just didn't do something that he required you to do and go and recover that. Because the supplies you need to walk on your path is a working relationship with the Lord. Anybody that tells a Christian that they can have a part-time relationship with the Lord and hear him all the time in everyday life is fooling you. And that's why it has to be moment by moment by moment by moment. Just think, this young man was a little boy. He needs to know as a little boy never to violate that on the inside, that God's put that within us and it could save his life. This young man said, you know, I've lost 18 friends because they pushed over the edge. They're like, I have to go down. You should have seen some of these mountains they ski down. I said, does your girlfriend go down those rock climb? No, I won't let her. Why? Because a lot of times when people get into environments like that or get into things that seem real exciting, they push past wisdom. That's why if God can trust you in the little everyday things, then he can tell you the bigger things. And the reason a lot of people aren't satisfied is because they're not getting developed in the little things so that he can trust them with the larger things. And it's important. I met a woman, thinking of you, who did stained glass. And very hungry spiritually. We talked for a long time, showed me some of her stained glass that she's done. And I said to her, would you like the Spirit of God to move more through your work? Then go and search the scriptures of what angels are. And as I began to share with her about angels, because her heart is she wants people to become closer to God, I said, I think you should create an angel that's at the birth of a child. She goes, that is such a good idea. Because I said, from birth, we have been given an angel, and I shared a story of praying for my grandson and how the angel brought him to birth so fast. We need a listening relationship with those impressions and leadings and warnings, the excited promptings. I think everybody just wants the excited promptings, but they're not always that way. Specific instructions. Sometimes the Lord lets you know everything in advance, but on this trip, he would not let me know everything in advance. And that's why he said, don't try to force anything to happen. Because, and I know the feeling inside when I try, if I would try to force something, and when it's like these open doors just open up and you walk through the open doors. And even Richard Hellman was surprised at how productive I was in such a little bit of time that I took. But it was, I'm not going to force it, but I know I'm to do this. How that other stuff's going to unfold, we'll just see. Because I knew the Lord said, I'm going to speak to the people. This is not about you anyway. It's about I'm dealing with Alaska. And I began to talk to them about the prophecy that God gave me when I was up there. And the people were so impacted just at this Friday night event where we worshiped the Lord. And in fact, I asked the Lord, should I take my guitar? I'm willing to take that up there. And he said, no, I will give you the guitar. I will give you the guitar players. And so one young man, his name was David, just worshiped the Lord so beautifully at the Friday night. And I just sat there enjoying, just basking in the presence. It's very interesting. This was a group of people. Every single one of them was from a different church. But they've just desired to come together, worship the Lord, flow in the gifts of the Spirit. You know, they would hear something, they would exhort somebody. And they just moved with the gifts of the Spirit. And when they were done doing what they were doing, building each other up, they turned it over to me. And the Spirit of God just spoke to such a degree that a couple men were thinking, you know what, I've been wanting to go to Israel. Is this the time to go? I said, it is the time to go. Because I'm hearing a lot of people say, isn't it dangerous to go? I said, what's dangerous is not being in the center of the will of God. So what do we need to know to follow correctly? We need to know who we are. Now some of you, this may be a rerun. Some of you may have never heard this before. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 40, verse 7. But if I can still get something out of the passage of Scripture, I know you can too. I want you to think about Jesus. He's raised by his mom and his father. That's all he knew is his mother and father. He's learning the Word of God by sitting with the teachers. And he hears this passage of Scripture, Psalm 40, verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come, and the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. And he goes on and on and on about the volume of the book written of me. Jesus found himself by reading the Word of God. You will too. You will find yourself in the Word of God. You'll find the character you're supposed to have in life. You'll find out your origin, how you even came here. You'll find out the importance of your life. You know how I found myself? I found it in reading and being led to certain passages of Scripture that he created me for his pleasure. Wow. I was beginning to discover who I was. I was brought here to be a pleasure. A pleasure for what? What was that going to pertain? Well, Psalm 127 said that children are a heritage of the Lord. Not only did I find out that I was brought to be a gift, but that was what my children were brought here for as well. To be a heritage of the Lord. An inheritance of God. I found out who I was supposed to be as a wife in Proverbs 31. I found myself in the volume of the book. That she will do her husband good and not evil all the days of her life. John, I do everything I can to live that. Because I found myself there. I found my call and why I'm standing here right now in Ephesians 4. When I would read about the leadership in the body of Christ and the apostles and the prophets and the pastors and the teachers, and I would cry out, God, the body needs to know how to mature. They need to know how to grow up and find themselves. And what I was realizing is I was one of them that would help make a difference in helping people to find themselves and guide them in the Scriptures. I bet a true godly person could find themselves called to the military just by reading about David's life. There's plenty of stories and people's lives in the Scriptures that you can find yourself. You know, we talk about the body of Christ. I was talking with this woman about, on the airplane last night, about each member of the body. Have you found yourself in the body as far as in the members? What member are you? Because the more you can find these things, the more you're going to be able to know the path that you are to take and develop.